Hello, and welcome to the Parental Advisory Movie Podcast. We are your hosts, Jeff Hall and
Patrick Terry. We're two dads with a love for movies.
Join us as we discuss movies we have seen with our kids,
as well as movies we have seen without them.
Good morning, Patrick. How's it going?
Pretty good, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing great. Happy belated Easter. Yeah. Happy belated Easter and happy Pity the Fool Day.
Easter Monday.
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of the day, I was watching this video on YouTube where it's talking about a new Samsung Galaxy gaming console. And about maybe 2 minutes in, there's some things he said where if you just think about the game, it'll automatically log into your payment, whatever your card info is and your account, so it'll just automatically log in and pick your games for you. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
So I went to the comments and it's like, oh yeah, it's for 1st of April. Gotta watch today. Be mindful today.
Yep.
Of everything. Yep.
Be mindful of the Jim Halperts in your life. It's awesome. Shoot. So how you doing, man? What's new?
I'm doing all right. I've just been, you know, I've had some interesting free time as far as my work schedule. So I've been able to watch a little more as far as movies go and taking advantage of the membership, Regal Unlimited. So,
yeah,
it's been another one of those uneventful times, which is cool.
Okay.
Not much going on. Daughter's getting ready for her prom. She's already got her dress. Yeah. So I think she's going to do it like she did last year.
Yeah.
And go with friends and like treat like a hangout. My mom, sister, and I—we ordered her class ring over the weekend.
Golly, isn't that crazy?
Yeah,
dude.
Right, because she had already had the design and everything, so went to the site and plugged everything in, and we're hoping it gets here in time for graduation because it said like 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah,
hopefully, it'll be here sooner. I did the express shipping, so I paid a little extra so it would get here quicker. Hopefully that'll happen. And it's been crazy getting prepared for that. Like, I'm even thinking, like, my dad, we don't have the best relationship, but I when talking to him, I said, you know, if you want to go to graduation, I'll pick you up, you know, I'll get there early, we'll get you, you know, get a room for you to stay overnight from, because her graduation is like that afternoon, like 6 or 7. So but yeah, I told him I'd pick him up. I'm not sure if I really want to do that, but if he's wanting to go, I'd be the only way he can get there. So I extended the olive branch. So we'll see if he takes it.
As coming from someone who also had, you know, difficulties. There we go. Relationship difficulties with his dad. I'm proud of you because that, you know, sometimes it's hard being the better person. So, I'm proud of you. Nothing else. It's hard sometimes.
Yeah, because when that trip happens, it's only gonna be me and him in a car. I don't know how that conversation's gonna go.
just put on one of our episodes.
Be one of those. Oh, I'm turning back. I'm taking you back home.
Yep.
Drop you off on the interstate.
Yep. There you go.
But
the oat bus will be here soon.
Yeah, other than that, things are good. You know, Easter, I went to Target and made up a basket for my niece. It's like
a
pink basket with a strap and a unicorn that I thought was stitched into the basket, but it's actually, you can remove it.
Yeah.
Didn't know that until she was fiddling with it. And you know, fake grass, some toys and chocolates, you know, all the stuff she doesn't need, the candy.
Yeah, exactly.
But, but that, and then got her a little small Moana doll that she hadn't.
Okay.
Surprisingly, she didn't already have.
Okay. Yeah. So kind of same thing. So last Monday, you know, one of the reasons why we didn't record, I had to take York to the dentist and he had to get some work done on his teeth, and just on one side, he's got work on the other side. That's later in the month. But so I'm like, all right, we need to start thinking differently about our options for snacks whenever we go to martial arts and all that. And, you know, maybe we need to start thinking about less candy. And then this damn holiday rolls around and here we are freaking, here's like six boxes of candy. And I didn't mean this damn holiday. I meant that more because it's a holiday in which we give candy. That's really all I meant by that. Also, I determined, I've long said this, and I will continue to say this, the Easter grass, with air quotes,
mm-hmm.
it is the glitter of Easter. It's Easter glitter, is what it is. Because it's everywhere. It, you think you've got it all cleaned up, and you'll just find it in random places throughout the house that it would that it had never ventured to. It's just there. It's like it's and it gets everywhere, and it is legit. I words cannot express how happy I will be when my kids are past all of this. I know it'd be like one of those, well, you know, when you're older, you look back at this. I guarantee I will look back at this and be thankful that I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, for them, you know, the wonder and all that and the joy of different things. But I'm here to tell you, if I don't have to deal with Easter grass, hiding eggs, or deal with like different like Santa duties, I cannot be any happier. My guess is it'll be the exact same type of joy I experienced when we went to Disneyland without a stroller, and just seeing everybody else have to mess with them.
Yeah.
And just knowing that my kids are old enough that we don't even have to mess with it. We're past that stage, and it brings me such joy.
The freedom.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, that in case, you know, for everybody listening that was thinking, wow, I really didn't need to know his thoughts on Easter grass, but here we are. Thank you for sticking through it. So Tuesday, York, Krav Maga, day one, he got his binder for his junior black belt. Starting today, April 1st, he has to keep a log of how many push-ups, sit-ups, and the amount of time he jump rope. Because come June 7th, which will be day one of testing of essentially three, because
mm-hmm.
he'll test Friday the 7th, he'll test Saturday the 8th, and he'll test Monday the 10th with everybody else. And then it'll be his junior black belt graduation, in which he will also have to give a speech.
Oh, wow.
So in his binder, he has to log every day that he has to log all those things. Yes. So, and they're going to check. He says every day, but he goes to class, or every week. My guess, probably every 2 weeks. I don't know, but maybe they will. Yeah. And so it's him and another kid in his class, Cade, who essentially started right around the same time as York. They both started at the Franklin location 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they're here we are. And so it'll be here before we know it. And this is what I told York. I said, listen, if you're having time, if you need some motivation, I mean, other than a junior black belt being your motivation, I will happily do this with you. I said, he's like, even the jump rope? I go, let's not go overboard. I'll at least do the push-ups and sit-up. Because when he tests in June, he has to be able to do 50 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, and jump rope for 10 minutes.
It's endurance.
Everything. See, and much like me, you're on board. It's like, okay, yeah, that's achievable. Yeah, that's achievable. Wait, you said 10 minutes of jump rope?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like me. Yeah. That's right. I was like, that's where you lost me.
Yeah.
So all we have are those like nylon jump ropes with like the plastic handles.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, and he broke one of them. He broke one of the handles on it already. I was like, so I had to fix it because it was actually Grayson's. So we went to Walmart and got like a real jump rope for like $10.
Yeah.
And I got Grayson one too. I was like, here, because I already know. Again, I'm already picturing them fighting over it. So
yeah.
But just everybody got
just to avoid that.
Yep. Everybody gets their own. They were $10. So yeah. Day one starts today. He also has to do for the month of April and May, and I think just April and May, he has to do 20 random acts of kindness. So like holding a door for someone or helping somebody with their homework or things like that he can log on in his binder. So that will be easy for him because he's just that kid anyways.
Yeah.
Really, both of them are, and I'm so thankful for it. So, yeah, so that's what he's got coming up. So very exciting, but also in addition to his normal, you know, classes, he will also have to go Saturdays from 8 to 8:45.
Okay.
So, yeah, normal classes plus just specific training for just him and Cade, 8 to 8:45. So it means he's going to have to get his ass up early on a Saturday, too.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for me would be the actual having to speak. Right. Like, I think I could focus on the push-ups, sit-ups, and jump ropes, but speaking part would be the.
So each month they have a page for them to write their speech.
Yeah.
And everything. So and I told myself, if you need help with that, I got you.
Yeah.
But I don't think you will. I don't think you'll need help. But also, his speech has to get approved before.
Okay. No audibles, no.
Yep.
No improv.
No ABCFU lyrics or anything like that.
Yeah. Dang. That took the fun out of it.
Yeah, exactly. But I think he'll be all right. He'll be fine. So last night, Easter night, marked number one on our concert journey for this year. Mm-hmm. One of currently seven. There's an eighth one I want to go to, but it's a 21 and over, so York won't be able to go with me. So probably still going to try and go either by myself or find somebody that has remotely any interest in pop punk music. So a band called 408 from Orlando, Florida. Thank you, TikTok's algorithm. You know my weakness. Anyways, they'll be here on the April 21st, so I'm kind of excited to go see them. But we'll see. Last night was Jimmy Eat World and Fall Out Boy.
Okay.
And I looked up, the one blessing of the internet is that there are people that actually keep logs of concert dates. And I don't mean like this year. I mean 20 plus years ago. I was able to look up when I last saw Jimmy Eat World. Because I can remember I saw him in St. Louis with York's mom when we were dating. And this was the lineup. It was the pop punk disaster tour.
Yeah.
It was Jimmy Eat World. That was the opening band. It was then followed by Blink-182 and then Green Day. Three powerhouses in their own right.
Right.
I remember it was in St. Louis. I remember it was a longer drive than going to Kansas City. But it was in Maryland Heights, which is just a suburb of St. Louis, at the amphitheater there. May 6th, 2002. So 22 years ago was the last time I saw them. It was, and you know what? They sounded just as amazing at that show last night as they did 22 years ago. Which is, yeah.
Gills.
Bro, they got it. They still got it. It was York, who had listened to some Jimmy Eat World, but I don't think a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Oh, he loved it. He thought they were amazing. And then we, you know, after they got done playing, you know, I went over to York. I go, he's like, that was amazing. I go, dude, we still have a whole ass concert left too. I mean, they brought the kind of, you know, energy and played a lot of songs that made you, you know, like the main act would play.
Right.
Like you thought you were watching the main act. It was great. And no, you still had one more band. And so, yeah, this was my first time seeing Fall Out Boy. I kind of wanted to go, but I was like, yeah. It's like, I like them, but I don't know if I really want to pay the money to go. This time I was like, I need to at least go once.
Yeah.
And so I took York and it was phenomenal. Patrick Stump, who's the lead singer of Fall Out Boy, he said he was 3 days into being sick. Like he'd been sick for the last 3 days. It's like, I don't know if it's flu or what, it's something going on, but I'm here and we're going to do this. That dude, if he wouldn't have said a word, you would not know he was sick. Like he.
And even after he told you, you couldn't tell, right? Like,
bro, no, not at all. Like I'll end up probably posting clips, but it was wild. Also, I didn't get the person's name sitting next to me, but she had awesome blue hair going on. You know those moments where you're like, fuck, I'm now the old person in this conversation. She legit showed me a hack on the phone, which I keep telling myself, okay, this is one of those things. It's just informational. Maybe a whole lot of people don't know this. She asked what model iPhone I had. I said, it's an iPhone 11. Yeah. I said, I pointed to York. I go, his is newer than mine. She goes, there's a setting there on your cameras where you can switch it to 4K. I said, you what now? Yeah. So she showed me, she walked me through it. We switched to 4K and I wasn't having to adjust for lighting or anything. It was beautiful. Problem with that, it does eat up more space.
Yeah.
Which was the problem because apparently, I did God, I'm now the old person having to learn technology from somebody. I'm decent with technology. No. Yeah. But I was like, okay, I got past that part. But then I definitely felt old. I was like, well, I don't feel quite old enough right now. Let me go ahead and tell her the last time I saw Jimmy. I said, yeah, the last time I saw it was in 2002. She goes, that's 2 years before I was born. Or no, that's two. No, I was only 2 years old then. I about said, of course you were. I mean, she looked young, but I didn't think, you know, but I wasn't thinking like two. But I was like,
dang.
That's all right. I was thanked her for her assistance. But then I kept getting the notifications that I was running out of storage. Mind you, this is literally the first song going into Fallout. I was like, shit. So I had to try to dump a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, I think I got that notification like 8 times throughout the rest of the show. I was just like, York, I need you to help record stuff because
I'm limited.
So yeah, you know, I've got like the Apple iCloud stuff, but I don't know how to. And then, of course, I had to look up how to take these videos and just upload them to the cloud instead of, because I just assumed they automatically went to the cloud and weren't on your phone.
I think if you set it up, it does automatically, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I'm having to look up stuff and I'm like, I looked up all of that. I go, I'm just going to have to wait till tomorrow. I was like, I don't have time. I'm just going to have to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah.
But no, it was a Fall Out Boy, amazing show, amazing set pieces. York said he thought he liked the music to Jimmy Eat World more, but the stage ambiance, if you will, their set decorations and production design of their show, Fall Out Boy definitely brought it there. It was pretty cool because they had like inflatables and different things being controlled by like puppeteers and everything. Like, it was dope. Like, they look like, they didn't look like inflatables. So let's put it that way. But it was pretty dope. Yeah. Highly recommend. You can look at behind the scenes stuff on Fall Out Boy's Instagram and socials and all that. They do it behind the scenes of how they do it. Pretty cool. And yeah, man, that is, by the way, I had to hide Easter eggs after going to see Godzilla Kong. So it was like midnight when I got home. A little bit after, and I'm over here trying to hide egg. I'm like, I'm so freaking beat. I just want to go. And then, of course, got woke. Yeah, and then it's fine.
Yeah, just throw them out where they land. They land. Yeah. It's dark, right?
Yep. One of my favorite things I read was this person who posted that. Yeah, laying out the Easter eggs. You know what she did in the morning instead of in the middle of the night.
Yeah,
and she said. She said, my kid caught me, and my response was, yeah, Mari, I already got started without you. I was like, damn, that's actually not a bad idea, you know.
Yeah. Gotta think quick.
I got started without you. I was trying to find all the Reese's cups or something like that. It was really funny.
Getting a head start.
Yeah, it's like. I was like, dude, that's some quick thinking right there. I'll have to remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all good. Everybody had a great time. Everybody had a good Easter. I think everybody but Grayson took a nap. So it was great. Yeah, man. That's what we got going on there. Shall we get into it?
Sure.
Okay. So trailers. Have you seen the trailer for the Pop-Tarts movie?
No. Okay. I have not.
So, Unfrosted, the Pop-Tart, the Pop-Tarts, the Pop-Tart story. This is written, well, it's like co-written and directed by Jerry Seinfeld. Also starring Jerry Seinfeld. In 1963, Michigan. No, I'm not. That's business rivals. Yeah, business rivals, Kellogg's and Post compete to create a cake that could change breakfast forever. Coming to Netflix May 3rd, movie stars Rachel Harris, James Marsden, Melissa McCarthy, Maria Bakalova, Hugh Grant, Jerry Seinfeld, Christian Slater, Dan Levy, Thomas Lennon, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Bill Burr, Fred Armisen, Jack McBrayer, and it just goes on. And Ronnie Chang, Jim Gaffigan, like it just goes on and on.
Hey, they got everybody.
Bro, they got everybody. In this movie, if you watch the trailer, it looks like it's going to be like a based on a true story in the same way that Weird, the Al Yankovic story, is based on a true story. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just so out. Like, there are probably some elements of truth into it, but it's probably more fiction than it is for. Yeah. Oh, they're high on the embellishment, but it looks great though. It looks great. I can't wait. It looks like it. Rated PG-13, 1 hour 33 minutes. Because we didn't get enough Yorgos Lanthimos with Poor Things, we've already got his next movie with Emma Stone, Kinds of Kindness. This time from Searchlight Pictures, though. A man seeking to break free from his predetermined path. A cop questions his wife's demeanor after her return from a supposed drowning. In a woman's quest to locate an extraordinary individual prophesized to become a renowned spiritual guide. There's a lot going on in that synopsis.
Sound like you took some stuff from Poor Things and put here. In a way.
It seems like there are some elements. Starring Emma Stone, Margaret Qualley, Jesse Plemons, Hunter Schafer, Willem Dafoe, Joe Alwyn, Hong Chow, Mamadou Athy, Crystal Elaine Chambers, Abby O, and Susan L. The trailer definitely teases it enough that you don't know really what it's about. Mm-hmm. Even with that synopsis, there's a lot going on.
Might be kind of like Quentin Tarantino, where it's like a lot of stories and then it comes to the middle.
Coming up next. Kinds of Kindness, June 21st. But before that comes out, we have Bad Boys 4, Bad Boys Ride or Die.
Yeah, so unfortunately that they had the third one that took the title that this one should have had.
Exactly.
I was like, man. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how this one's going to be. I mean, the trailer looks great.
Yeah, it looks flashy. Looks great,
but I don't know. I'll wait to see it.
I probably should have stopped at 3. But I said that with 2. I said that before 3 came out also, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the third one was good because it wasn't Michael Bay. I think he was on as a producer, but you had completely different directors.
Right.
You know, same directors are doing this, so.
Yeah.
You know, the third one wasn't perfect, but it was good.
It was entertaining, and that's all it needed to be.
And so hopefully they take the good from that and apply it to this with some other good.
Agreed.
But yeah, and then hopefully this is it.
What you said.
Yeah. Both Martin and Will are getting older. Will doesn't quite look it yet, but. You know, Martin's chunk cheeks say otherwise.
Man, yeah.
They still got chemistry, so.
That Porsche, hopefully.
Yeah.
They're a shiny dick with two chairs. They're just the balls just dragging it the fuck along. Sorry, I can quote that movie. I still can quote the OG Bad Boys, like, all day. It's great. Kind of love that movie. Anyways, this summer, the world's favorite Bad Boys are back with their iconic mix of edge-of-your-seat action and outrageous comedy, but this time with a twist. Miami's finest are now on the run. There you go. That's my Casey Kasem. That's my radio voice, in case anybody knew that I had one.
Yeah, I guess that's the natural place to take this story, I guess.
Right. Because Joey Pants, Captain Howard, is presumed to be, he gets framed for being basically working for drug cartels his entire career or something like that.
Yeah.
And so he's on the run. Basically, he's nowhere to be found. The guys get a video from him basically saying, don't trust anyone. You know, same thing he says in every movie. Goes, no telling how far this goes up. So they go on the run and, you know, ever to try and find out who's setting them up as well as who's setting up Captain Howard. And yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah.
But again, MacGuffins are fun. So it looks like a big, dumb, fun movie. You know, perfect for its release on June 7th. Pretty good.
At least it's during the summer and it's not one of the weird.
Yeah, it's not January.
Yeah, that would have been a bad sign.
January or February.
Yeah.
So there's that. So with that being said, though, speaking of one of those weird months to drop a movie, this kind of gives me a little bit of pause, and that kind of worries me a little bit. Beetlejuice. We haven't covered this one yet, oddly enough. But we didn't. I mean, of course, this is the follow-up to the original 1988 about the ghostest with the mostest.
So, yeah.
Who's recruited to help haunted house? You know, everybody's back except for, what's his name? The pedo guy.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, what's his name? Anyways, the redheaded
dad. That guy.
The guy from Howard the Duck. And
yeah.
Anyways,
gotta always look evil.
yeah, always look like he probably was probably a like he could play a pedophile, and then decided to just do it in real life. There you go, that one.
That guy, yeah.
You know, the principal from Ferris Bueller. So anyway, so yeah, Jenna Ortega, Michael Keaton, Monica Bellucci, Winona Ryder, Willem Dafoe again, Catherine O'Hara, Justin Theroux, Bern Gorman. I like seeing him pop up in really anything. Yeah, they're back at the house, and from the teaser, looks good. I mean, we'll see. I'm not completely sold on his wig. His hair kind of looks like a Party City wig for Beetlejuice, but
yeah.
I will still keep an open mind. But this movie is set for September 6th for its release. So talk about those weird months. September's kind of one of those.
Yeah.
But my guess is that they're trying to just do that for a pre-Halloween. But then again, first week in October would be good too, though.
Or, you know, or at least late September, early October.
Yeah.
That type
of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. But
whatever.
Who knows what's coming out that time they know about, which is why.
Exactly. Yeah. True story. So we will hold off. We will hold off our judgments of that for a later time. But, you know, I know why. October 4th is Joker. Oh, so, I get that.
Musical. So.
But know. It's still. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the 11th would have been fine. 18th, Smile 2 comes out.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I've already got movies listed. I've got movies already listed so far that I'm aware of that are coming out for the rest of the year. I just went ahead and did that.
Yeah.
And so in my planner in October for the 25th, you'll be happy to know you'll be able to report back a third time now for Terrifier 3.
All right.
And The Wolfman will also come out. Whereas September, we have Beetlejuice, Transformers 1. It's an animated movie.
Hmm.
Speak No Evil. And then September 20th, Wolves. And that's what we have so far. Just. I mean, there'll be more that comes out and all that stuff, but yelp, it is. We're getting there. So yeah, those are our trailers for this week. So one thing I hope they do, because I saw this on IMDb, and this is kind of getting ahead a little bit, but So Friday we have the first Omen and Monkey Man coming out. I thought Monkey Man was coming out the 12th, but according to Regal, it's coming out this week, which is great because York really wants to go see that. So I'm all there for it. You should totes. I hope what they do is they put the posters for Monkey Man and the first Omen next to each other, because I'm pretty sure the same person made the poster for both movies.
Think so.
If you look at IMDb and it'll say like coming out this week or whatever, it has both movies next to each other and it's red on black silhouettes. It's just, I was like, you think someone got lazy and just made the same poster.
We'll just push it out a little bit for first Omen and bring it in close.
Yep. Yeah.
It's the same person. We just got to dress in one of them.
Yeah. Here, put this on.
Yeah.
Bunch. Just have it on. Yeah. So that was kind of getting ahead, but I thought of that and made me laugh.
It doesn't happen too often.
No. Well, I think nothing will beat the time, was it John Wick 3, Parabellum? When that one came out, and then it was one of those dog movies, like a Dog's Journey type of movie. Mm-hmm. And they put the poster next to each other, put the John Wick poster next to the dog poster. I said, well, that's just meant to be. I said, that is the funniest joke without it, you know, funniest inside joke if you've seen the first John Wick.
Yeah.
To put a dog poster next to it.
Yeah. Perfect advertising.
Oh, yeah. Too funny. All right, let's get into our feature presentation. So this week, we covering Godzilla X Kong. I don't even know what the X is supposed to times. Are we multiplying? Like, I don't get that. But here we are.
Godzilla. I think it's Kong. Like anime Godzilla Kong.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Like that's how I approached it.
Okay. All right. Colon, the new empire. Rated PG-13 with a runtime 1 hour 55 minutes. Two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwined origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. All right, I'm going. I'll buy that one. Written by Terry Rossio and returning director from Godzilla vs. Kong. We have Adam Wingard, who also directed, if you're like me, you're a fan of the VHS horror anthology movies. He directed VHS and VHS 2. As well as the guest with Dan Stevens, who is in this movie. And you're next. Death Note. Everybody gets a pass on a movie. That should be his pass. God, that was a trash movie. But yeah. So we've got returning director Adam Wingard. He's the first one in the MonsterVerse to return as a director. This movie came out 10 years after the Godzilla 2014 movie with Aaron Taylor Johnson. And so here we are, 10 years later. We've got some new color spikes and everything. And, you know,
that upgrade every once in a while.
I really want to read a review where it says Godzilla went woke by having peak spikes. I'm just waiting for that one, because that sounds like some dumbass kind of post that goes, so why is Godzilla's a dude? Why does he got peak spikes? Waiting for that bullshit. Anyways.
And they explain it.
They do. They very much so. And that's the best part.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't know why they're going to be pink. Why couldn't they just be like blood red or something like that?
It's not Shin Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly. True story.
I think nowadays people just finding things to nitpick about. I mean, the pink kind of threw me off. I'm like, oh, okay, Barbie. It makes sense. You know, just keeping the theme going.
Yeah, it's the Barbie. This is results from Barbenheimer.
Yeah. See? Yeah. He's a fan.
Yeah, exactly. Well, not a fan. He's a result when you get Barbenheimer. Yeah. You had the explosion of Oppenheimer and all the pink of Barbie. Boom. You go. Gojira. But Gojira's moves during the Dua Lipa song were amazing, though. I don't know why they did that for a post credit. They should have kept it in the movie. That's why no post credit scene. I did stay. Yeah. Anyways, we got Rebecca Hall returning as Eileen Andrews with a haircut that I hope she didn't approve, because it is a good look. Yeah, my brother had that haircut in high school, is all I'm trying to say.
It's like she got turned down from the, was it Terminator Dark Fate? Like, she lost the robe and
right.
changed the haircut. Yeah,
exactly. She's really into BTS.
Yeah.
Right. Brian Tyree Henry returns as Bernie Hayes. Dan Stevens is a new character. He plays Trapper. And probably the only character I actually liked in this movie. Like human, other than Gia, other than Kaylee Huddle, who plays Gia. Everybody else, everybody else.
He was having fun with it.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
He really, best time.
Yeah.
I was legit jealous that he was playing that character and not me. That's how good of a time he was having. Like, I was mad that I didn't get to play that role.
Yeah. Did you not get Guardians of the Galaxy vibes?
Bro, I did the tests about it.
Yeah.
Legit.
I mean, I
took a picture during the movie and they were like together. I'm like, so Dan Stevens is like he's like Star Lord, but a vet. Because he's got the music. Okay, he's got the music. I dig it. I'm on board with all the music and everything. He's pretty chill and, you know, but very smart. Okay, so he's Star Lord. Got it. Yeah. I guess I don't know if that makes Gia Groot, because she didn't really talk. I mean, she's sign language, so I guess that's not really at all. Just more like that.
She does communicate, just different.
Yeah, she does communicate. Yeah just different. Brian Tyree Henry's obviously Drax.
Yeah.
And then Rebecca Hall has to be Gamora.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You got her guard.
I mean, because definitely not Mantis, no.
No.
Yeah. Our original.
So, there you go. So yeah. Anyways, a total Guardians vibes, but done differently. I mean, it's enough that it's, you could tell they probably took inspiration, but didn't try to do a full copycat.
Yeah.
So, and we'll get into it in here in a minute, and I'll give you a little more backstory on Dan Stevens' character. But I totally dig where he got his inspiration. Okay, I'll go ahead and say. So I read that Dan Stevens said that he took his inspiration from Michael Keaton's Romancing the Stone. And I forgot what Kurt Russell movie, but basically Kurt Russell and Michael Douglas from Romancing the Stone. I said, I 100% see Michael Douglas Romancing the Stone in this. Jack Wilder. I love those movies. Like, even as a kid, I liked those movies, and I was not old enough to really kind of like, I wasn't old enough that those should have been movies I would have liked, but the humor in it is just so freaking hilarious. I just love them. Plus Danny DeVito is kind of a schmuck. Like, he's a villain, but he's not the villain, but God, anyways, great chemistry in those movies. The director, Adam Wingard, said he basically what he wanted to do different with this movie is, he's basically nostalgic for like 80, going through the toy stores or going into toy stores and walking through there, and that feeling of just all the different colors and different textures of kids' toys like G.I. Joe, Transformers, Thundercats, all that stuff. And so he wanted his movie to be, I guess, like toys. I don't, 80s toys. So hence the big vibrant colors and stuff like that, and the different huge set pieces and whatnot. I'm like, so basically what you're saying is you're doing it so you can sell toys.
Got it. Yeah, that's basically.
That's the vibes I got. Yep. And so Dan Stevens' character Trapper is the inspiration for that character. The director said he modeled it after the character Chuckles from G.I. Joe. I said, boom, that explains the Hawaiian shirt. Okay. Got it. I got it. And I 100% see it, and I love it because Chuckles is one of my favorite characters, too. But yeah, I am curious how what qualifications would it be to be a veterinarian for Titans?
Probably just being brave enough to be able to go close to them. Do you want to do this? Go ahead. Nobody else is fixing a toothache. Yeah, if you're crazy enough to get that close, even if they're sedated, go ahead, knock it out. Worst that'll happen is you'll die.
Worst that'll happen is we'll just need another vet.
Yeah, go ahead. If you're willing to do it and we're not putting a gun to your head,
right,
then you're hired.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Kong is in Hollow Earth enjoying everything that they have to do, I guess retirement. I don't even know because it's not really retirement, but living his best life. I don't know.
It's better than the simulated place he was in the last movie.
Yes.
So, yeah. He has no limits on where he goes.
Right. Yeah. And he doesn't have to worry about harming humans or anything like that. But you could tell he's also kind of lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So, he misses. That's kind of one of the things of being the last of your kind is there's no one else to share life with. And Monarch has a base on Hollow Earth, monitors him and make sure he doesn't try and leave.
Yeah.
Because obviously, the little portal things, as I like to call them, and come back to Earth, and they're trying to be sure he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because after the last fight with Godzilla, they are trying to keep the two separate.
Yeah.
So they don't wreak any more havoc on the world, on the world. So meanwhile, while Kong is enjoying retirement or vacation with no end, Godzilla's having to do all the work. he's over here fighting Titans, taking them down. Granted, not great about trying to move the fight to the water or remote areas.
I need to fight, I'm fighting. If buildings get destroyed and people die, sorry, I'm big.
Imagine a drunk superhero.
Like Hitch?
Hancock. Yeah. Hancock. Oh, that's not
it.
Hitch. Yeah.
Hey, Will Smith, the same.
Yeah, sure. Same verse. Same multiverse. But yeah, basically like Hancock. If Hancock was Godzilla,
not careful at all.
Nope, not careful. Just kind of banging into shit. But the best part's when he curls up in the Coliseum like a cat. That's kind of funny.
Yep, that's the biggest place.
I don't quite understand, but I'm like, all right.
Yeah, it's like.
But yeah, Adam Wingard took. Basically, the reason why he had that put in is because it's from watching his cat named Mischief, basically curl up in there. Like that, that should be in the movie.
Yeah.
It's a cute little touch. But yeah, so Godzilla's taking down Titans left and right. Mm-hmm. Then Monarch starts noticing strange behavior in Godzilla. Like he's just powering up for something and nobody knows what.
Yeah.
And so, meanwhile, Elaine and G are trying to continue their mother-daughter bonding, but also she is trying to get acclimated to school, and it's hard for her to make friends, all this other stuff, and she just doesn't feel like she's at home.
Yeah.
And then she starts having these weird visions and stuff, and is drawing different things on paperwork, and she doesn't know what's causing it and why it's happening. So they then enlist Monarch's been getting these weird readings, thing that measures earthquakes. Why am I drawing a blank on that? I hate that. Anyways, seismic wave. Yeah, there we go. Seismometer? Yeah, sure. Something like that. Anyways, you know what I'm saying. And they noticed that there's a pattern,
mm-hmm.
different readings, and that it's actually so. That's when they enlist the help of Brian, Henry's character, Bernie. And Elaine goes to Bernie and says, I need your help to help me figure out what's going on between these drawings and these waves, because they look exactly the same.
Yeah.
So the deal is he gets to go to Hollow Earth at some point.
Yeah, because he's got the podcast and he's lost viewership because they don't believe him. They think he's crazy. So
right.
he wants to do it, one, to help out, but also to
right.
have proof that he's not lying. He's not crazy. The stuff is, he knows what he's talking about, basically.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. You know, like a podcaster would. They know yeah. what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Lord help. God help us all. So they, Edson enlists his help. And basically, the only, they find out that it's, it appears to be a, later we find out it's determined to be a distress call for help.
Mm-hmm.
For what or who, we don't know. So they end up getting approved for an admission to go down to Hollow Earth. So, and Gia basically says, listen, this has to do with me too, because, you know, the visions and everything, I'm going, plus Kong may need me. So,
yep.
There you go. So, you know, mother-daughter bonding time.
True.
Down to Hollow Earth. I mean, and then they bring Trapper, and obviously Bernie goes too. And then they've got Mikhail, played by Alex Ferns, who's great as kind of the one soldier, I guess you could say, that tries to take charge, but obviously nothing goes as planned. But yeah, they make it down to Hollow Earth. Meanwhile, Kong, while killing like a pack of whatever, those like almost, they kind of look like zombie saber-toothed tigers. You know, like from the one movie from, the one Vegas movie.
Yeah.
Zombie Vegas movie. Can't think of the name of it, but yeah. Yeah, he fights off a bunch of them, which then caused this part of this earth to collapse and everything on Hollow Earth, or this cavern or ravine, whatever you want to call it. And then puts a hole in it, and then he falls. He ends up, and then these other apes just show up and start attacking them, including this little red one named, with it, Soku, I think was the name of it.
Yeah.
One that I remember reading. And they all start trying to whoop Kong's butt. It's, and like, you're like,
like, you think, because the little one was just, dude, like the trap, like, hey, I'm a cute little one. They're like, nah,
yeah,
I'm about to. I'm gonna take
it. No, like, it's like, I don't. It basically comes like, I don't care. It's like, I don't care. I'll beat you. Well, I'm not gonna use that. Yeah, I'll whoop your ass too. And then just ends up using him.
Yes.
Like a weapon. That's the damn.
It's like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know if this was a real thing or if it was something somebody created, where like I'm literally taking this little guy and I'm using him as my weapon. Like, he just like some nunchucks.
Wham, wham. Yeah.
I was like, hey, Kong don't care. He's like, hey, no. You I thought, you know,
you come back to King, but be ready.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the one that falls and he saves him, and dude still try to take a knife and cut him. He's like, all right, I'm just gonna make sure you die like he was going to. 300 kick.
Bye. 300 kick, exactly.
It's like, I tried to rescue you, and you're still trying to kill me?
Yeah.
No, I'm just going to put you right back where you were.
That's
weird. I was just like, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, then basically makes Soku go with him.
Yeah.
I said, damn, are we getting Son of Kong without, you know, because that Son of Kong's a weird movie. It's like the original Son of Kong that came out after the original King Kong. It's a thing that exists. But you know, it's definitely a good attempt, and you know, it's worth a watch, especially if you have kids, because it is not scary. It's definitely good King friendly. But yeah, anyways. So then Soki could basically take some, you're like, hey, I need you to see this. So as our friends are descending down to Hollow Earth, Kong ends up finding the Temple of Doom, essentially. The King Kong Temple of Doom. So I was like, holy shit, is Data down here too? What we got going on? Amaraji? Which one's winning? And then, but yeah, it's basically like, if you've seen Temple of Doom, it's like that. It's a bunch of apes. Large, small, male, female. You only know the female ones because they're holding the babies, I guess. But they're also behind the Scar King, so who is our villain that we're now introduced to, who has like this, it looks like a bandolero like Chewbacca wears, but I mean, he snaps that thing off and it turns, and it's like a skeleton whip almost.
With like it's the spine of something.
Yeah, like a snake or something like that. And just whips it out and just, you know, just, I'm like, oh, okay. But it has this glowing, like, blue piece at the end that can, like burns cold, you know, like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's so cold it burns. There you go. And
bottom is basically his whip. It's his whip.
Literally.
That's all it is.
And, yeah. So, of course, Kong is, like, you know, thinking he's, I mean, not thinking. Knowing he's big belly badass, goes down there to try and, you know, save all these other apes. And, like, you know, this, the Scar King's like, they fight.
But before that, like, he's just surprised with others like him. Like, he didn't think he was about to
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit. Yeah.
And Scar King comes and sizes him up and notices his little tooth he got. He's like, look at this guy. Got his little tooth and starts laughing at him.
Yeah.
I was like, kind of reminded me of Samuel Jackson and Django, how he was acting.
Yeah.
Like, look at this. Yeah. All right, you think he's something with his little shiny tooth.
Yep. Yeah, I was, well, and I'm like, damn, it would be even funnier if they would have put a diamond in it. If you're not going to give him the full grill, at least put a diamond in there or something like that.
Yeah. But it just shows the difference. You know, Scar King's been ruling these guys forever. Yeah. Now you got this foreigner coming in.
Yep.
Doesn't know what kind of power he has, so.
Right. And and Kong looks, and part of Kong's look, too, is that his beard's longer. It's gray. His fur is a lot grayer because he's getting older.
Yeah.
You know, he's almost at the Danny Glover, I'm getting too old for this shit era.
He still has his hair and Scar King does not. He's balding.
Exactly.
Like, that's his main problem. He's balding. He's mad about that.
He's just mad about that. And, you know. So, in the difference in size, too, they're roughly, at least height-wise, similar, but Scar King's a lot more agile.
Yeah.
He's kind of lanky. He kind of reminds me of, like, his movements, at least, are a lot more fluid. Basically, like, if King Louie from the Jungle Book took Ozempic, you know, just a lot fluid and, you know, can kind of dance around and do a lot more agilic. Yeah, that's a
way. He's got the speed advantage moves. While Kong's got the power.
Yeah, got the power and, you know, it's bigger. And so he's having to adjust his fighting style, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he's got the weapon and Kong's got his axe thing. And my axe. And, you know, they're trying to duke it out. And when Scar King realizes that, oh, shit, this dude's actually a worthy opponent.
I can't beat him.
Here, let me grab my Rancor.
Get my equalizer.
Yep. And then you see this, you see these, you know, everybody moves out of the way and these doors open up. And then you see these eyes. I'm like, what the is this? Yeah. I was like, damn, we got a Rancor now? Like, are we going to every? I was like, we're hitting all the genres, aren't we?
More toys.
Yep, more toys. Spielberg and Lucas here.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it looks like a Pokemon character comes out. Shimu, I think it's called Shimu.
I think so.
S-H-I-M-U.
I think I just saw that too, I think.
Yeah. But basically, it has a body style similar to like an Ankylosaurus.
Yeah.
But if Ankylosaurus was a Glaceon Pokemon figure, there you go. He's ice type. There we go.
Shimu, I choose you.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's what I told. So I talked to York about this too when I saw it. I go, you should have gone, man. It was fun. It was big, dumb fun. You would have liked
it. I think you would have liked it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll happily watch this again. I had a good time. But I said, but it's like Godzilla, Kong, and like whatever Monsterverse Pokemon titans they could think of. It was great because we also got Gyarados that Godzilla ends up fighting in the Arctic, which is how he gets pink spikes and everything by harnessing all of that Titan's energy. Kind of gets it back to that. And yeah, so Kong gets his right hand like frozen, like frostbite, like frostbitten and everything.
Yeah.
Like damn. And they, so Kong, you know, kind of retreats more or less, or was able to get away due thanks to Soku and help give him an escape route. And so they get out and escape. Kong ends up just collapsing somewhere. And then, you know, lo and behold, our team shows up and finds him and tries to do whatever they can to fix him. And then Trapper remembers they have this prototype piece that they had designed for him after the last battle with Godzilla. And it's basically Kong gets fitted with a Nintendo Power Glove, more or less.
Basically.
Yeah. And like when dude gets fitted, jumps and then like lands and then like slams his fist down and then the lightning shoot out, I go, Power Glove.
Yep.
It's like in the commercials. Got the lightning and everything.
Yep.
Oh man. Kong's about to type in all them cheat codes.
True.
But from what I understand, the glove is actually modeled after the arm from the original Pacific Rim for Gypsy Danger or Gypsy. Dang it. Anyways, you know which one I'm talking about. That's what his arm was actually, the mechanical arm was modeled after.
Been a while since I've seen that.
Yep, I know. And I'm just like, no, I'm just happy I can remember that much. And it was, so yeah, so watch out. Now he's gloving up, he's ready to go. That's not terrible.
No, I was thinking about something that later. Just
okay.
We'll see when we get there.
Okay. Yeah, no. I realized what I said. I go, that's also funny.
Not to take away from that. I was also thinking ahead.
So we then find out why. We also too find out the distress call is coming from these group of natives. It turns out that have been living in Hollow Earth that are descendants or something like that of the people from Skull Island that Geo's from.
The Iwi tribe.
The Iwi.
Yep.
Iwi tribe. So there's a whole culture down there.
Mm-hmm.
So Geo's, you know, they communicate telepathically too.
Yeah.
So that explains why she's getting all those visions, because basically her people are
all that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like learning you have telepathy for the first time, just get everything because you haven't controlled it yet.
Right. Yeah. Wild. Yeah. And so there's the origins of that. And it turns out, you know, there's all kind of, and then there's a big exposition dump, even though we're already halfway through the movie. But it's not really an exposition, but it's an origin dump, I guess, more than anything.
Yeah.
Where Eileen reads these cave drawings, this great battle between essentially like Godzilla and the Scar King. And Scar King wanting to seek vengeance on Godzilla by coming back to top side of Earth and taking over, trying to break through, and he just hasn't been able to yet. So all that, and that one girl from the Skull Island tribe or something like that. It's very specific in a cave drawing. I'm like, you getting all that? All I see are drawings. I don't even see any like different hieroglyphs or something like that in a different language that would help you figure out all of this.
Just seeing pictures and implying.
Yeah.
This is what I see.
Like, so you're also a medium. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Clearly. But basically, Gia holds is the one that can bring back Mothra, who will help, you know, who will help Godzilla.
That should be his reason.
Yes.
Because.
Yeah.
If not for her.
Yep.
She.
So, yeah. So, of course, Godzilla is going to need help defeating the Scar King. So, the only way you can do that is going back up topside and forcing Godzilla to come down to Hollow Earth. So, of course, Godzilla. And it's a silly premise. It's silly premise to do that. But it's the whole exposition. I'm like, I said, well, this is one way to get the movie moving quicker.
it, it was, it was funny.
Yeah.
One goes back up and just happens to, I guess the portal leads to Egypt. Yep. Godzilla's there because he just finished powering up and everything.
Yep.
So
chilling on the rock at Gibraltar. I mean,
yeah,
as you do.
He sees Kong. I did like the shot where Kong was just walking in the desert like he's just taking a stroll. Mm-hmm. But then he sees Godzilla. Godzilla sees him. It's like, why is this dude here? Yeah. I told him, like I was doing my own little voiceover. Like I told this dude, if I see him, it was on. He goes through the water, breaks about two or three bridges, then decides to go under. I'm like, he did that on purpose. Godzilla don't care. But then he sees Kong, and Kong's like, hey, you know, implying the conversation, like, dude, I need your help. Can we team up? Kind of like Man and Superman, like,
right,
Bruce, I need to talk to you. He's like, no, ain't no talking. It's no talking. And just tackles him. Straight up spear. Even, I think, Godzilla suplexed Kong at one point. I was like, Godzilla don't care. It's like, you're supposed to stay down. You're supposed to stay down in your hollow earth. I'm up here. You must be the reason why I'm getting all this confusion. Yeah. It's you. And then he was, I mean, yes, Kong got some good shots in, but Godzilla was about to take him out. It was about to be over. But then the equalizer, the reason, Mothra, like, hey, chill, we got a bigger problem.
Yeah.
So.
God bless.
So like, that's about it.
And then we go down, and that's our thing. I mean, we you know, Scar King found the portal, you know, found out where the portal was. Like, all right, you know, we're going to go take Helm's Deep. Let's go.
Yep.
And then, you know, he's riding on Shimu and everything. I hate saying Shimu, just reminds me of Shamu, and it's just, I'm trying not to do it, but it's too funny enough.
He's riding on his Pokemon.
There you go. Yeah. And he's one thing we haven't mentioned is that he's like holding the thing that's at the end of the spear. It's like one of the spikes from Shimu, which is controlling it. So
it's like he's using, like, he's able to bring pain to him. So it forces him to do what he says.
Be submissive. Yeah.
Yeah.
and then, you know, here we go. The great battle.
I had so many voiceovers in my head because, you know, he's riding on his Pokemon. Then you saw at one point Kong dropped on the back of Godzilla. And I know, like, Godzilla's like, man, we're done, we're going to talk. We can't do that.
We're going to talk. It's kind of like Superman carrying Batman.
Yeah.
It's humiliating.
Like, you're lucky we're in battle. Otherwise, I would just, that's not cool, man. I don't need you riding my back.
Hey, it's a good thing your kid's here because he wasn't.
Yeah.
Not mine.
And then you're a little friend, your little human friend. Like,
yeah.
After this is done, we're going to talk.
We've already got our premise for the next one.
You're taking too much liberty here.
Yeah.
So I came down here only because of Mothra.
Yep.
This whole thing with you riding my back. No, we're not.
Nope. No. Bridge too far.
That's where I draw the line.
You're about to have a matching metal tooth on the other side, my dude.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, shoot.
Are they going to need
You know, they had the big, huge fight. Now, listen, the CGI on this was great.
Yeah.
Because most of this movie is CGI. Like, I mean, the vast majority of it.
It has to be good because it's reliable.
And so I saw it. I got fortunate because when I went to the Opry Mills, I got to hear that sweet sound.
Yeah.
Your movie's in theater 11. I said, hell yes. So for those that either don't live in Nashville or don't go to Opry Mills because it's always busy, unless you're like me and go at 9 o'clock at night and everybody's leaving. The theater 11 is the RPX theater, which has the much better seats, a huge screen, not IMAX, but like IMAX light. That's how I call it, but has the absolute best sound. Next to IMAX. So you really, for a movie like this, you really want to hope you can go see it in like an RPX theater or IMAX. Dune is playing in IMAX, so there's no IMAX, because I would have hands down seen this in IMAX.
I forgot. I did see that Dune still controlling the IMAX.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I saw it at Green Hills. I mean, theater that they had it in.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was It was a bigger theater. Like mm-hmm. usually Green Hills yeah. theaters yeah, are yeah. small, but it was like
yes, they are
pretty good yeah. size and so heck decent sound. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe they have their own secret yeah. RPX, but it's right. not listed. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't disappointed in how I watched it, but I know IMAX would have been a whole different experience right. for the sound, and RPX is the next best thing if nothing else.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. So I was. I had a great time. I mean, I also did something I very rarely do at the movies. I actually got an adult drink to go with it. Yeah. And it was just perfect. It was, and you know, between that and the popcorn, it was amazing. I had a great time. I would definitely recommend it. This is a perfect summer blockbuster at the end of March. Like it's,
yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Even if you like, just go watch it. It's just big dumb fun.
It's good all dumb right. fun. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm going to be critical of anything, it's just mm-hmm. I'm still not caring about the human stuff, with the exception of
agreed.
Trapper and Gia.
Bro, outside of those two. Listen, I would watch a Trapper series today. Like today, I would watch yeah. a Trapper series. Just give me a series, just him. Do not care. Yeah, either taking care, either a Trapper prequel. Series like taking care of regular animals and then
gets the big
migrating into Titans, yeah,
yeah,
or just you know, or even like if they did like a mockumentary, or, just following Trapper like an animal.
I mean, like the video like that Bernie was making, Irwin. That would yeah. be his
right, like or like a Steve Irwin style like animal, you yeah, know,
Titans,
yeah, but with Titans,
yeah,
dude, I would watch that in a heartbeat,
yeah. Let's see, but outside of that. Everything with the Titans, great. They yeah. just didn't do, they weren't able to do what Minus One did, was make you care about the humans without, yes. with the exception of the two.
Yes.
Which I feel like if they had been able to land that, they would have just added to what was already there.
And that's the problem this series has had, I think.
Yeah.
Is making you care about the humans. Other than, now I think, with the exception, I think the first Godzilla did a good job with that. With Aaron Taylor Johnson trying to get to his wife and kid.
Okay.
And, yeah. and the stuff with his parents and everything.
I think what hurt that was they used Bryan Cranston and then killed him off early. That's what yeah. hurt that.
yeah. Wait, word for a movie that's 10 years yeah. old. But yeah. for a movie that's 10 years similar to.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, but that also helped kind of gave you more motivation for Aaron Taylor Johnson's character and all of that. So for that, yeah, I think I really liked, that's probably out of this entire MonsterVerse, that's probably the one movie where you actually cared about those characters. All the others, yeah, they're there.
Yeah, you can cut out all the human stuff and just show the Titan stuff. Still great.
Yeah, make it a silent film. I don't care. I mean, the first just, King Kong was.
Because this one, and this one is more focused on Kong's character because you get a little more, you know, he's finally finding someone, you know, finding a group of his kind because yeah. he hadn't had that, and you know they could have just really focused on that and just showed. I mean, they didn't. If they just decided to do a cut where there's no human elements to it and just showed yeah. everything with Kong and Godzilla, we can fill in everything else. just
yeah, exactly.
Didn't I mean I get
well
with Gia, I get her purpose of being in this and then her mm-hmm. connection with Kong and what her ultimate role is, but it's just. It's a distraction.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm thinking, okay, what's Kong doing? What's Godzilla doing?
Well, and I think Godzilla was underused in this.
I think that was just because they focused more on Kong.
That's exactly. It's Kong's story, but
yeah.
it's funny that Godzilla's at the front of the title of the movie, though.
I mean, he's the man. He's the Titan.
Yeah.
He's got top billing, man. He just had the best movie come out beforehand, so he got his Oscar. My name.
He's like, listen. My name's alphabetical, and my movie came out first, 2010, yep. in this series.
Yeah,
I get top billing.
I'm the Iron Man of this year.
Exactly.
Without me, there's no MonsterVerse.
Oh shoot! But yeah, definitely go watch this. It's fun. All right, real quick, go ahead and give your. You have a second movie. I don't have anything for this week other than this one.
About it, we got to talk. Yeah, about
it's all right. I know, right?
So. It's rare that I get to go to the Monday mystery movies at Regal. So
yeah,
I finally got a chance to. And what made this even more special is that was their horror edition. So I had thoughts on what it might be.
Yeah.
I thought it was the movie Cuckoo, just because it had the same runtime as this, but
nope.
And at the end, they actually end up having they put up fake runtime. So this was actually 90 minutes, not 1 hour and 42. But so the movie I ended up seeing is a movie called Sting.
Okay.
You know, it will release April 12th, 2024, but it was the mystery for that week.
There you go.
Again, run hour.
Exclusive.
Yeah. Runtime, 1 hour, 31 minutes. Directed by Kia Rose Turner. And it stars Aliyah Browning as Charlotte. Penelope Mitchell as Heather, which is Charlotte's mom. Ryan Corr as Ethan, Charlotte's stepdad. Jermaine Fowler as Frank, who is the exterminator of this movie. The only person I recognize from this, because he was in a couple other movies. He was in The Blackening. He played.
Oh, okay.
Shoot, I can't think of his name. He was the nerd, the one that.
Okay. Yeah. Yep.
So then Sylvia Coloca as Maria and a couple other characters. But this is after raising an unnervingly talented spider in secret. 12-year-old Charlotte must face the facts about her pet and fight for her family's survival when the once charming creature rapidly transforms into a giant flesh-eating monster.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So when it starts off, you see something like come through the Earth's atmosphere, crash lands into a kind of a rundown apartment window and then into a dollhouse. And first I thought it was like, oh, is this like a Critters movie? Because it has like a cocoon egg. It opens up. Yeah. And then a little spider crawls out. And it starts making its way through the dollhouse. But then we see Charlotte, who's making her way through the vents. And she happens to come through into this room with the dollhouse. And she sees the spider. So she empties out Matchbox and puts it inside. And then takes it back to the apartment. So she ends up transferring it to a drawer. And, you know, just admiring it, looking at it. But then puts a bug in it. And then it eats it. And which is weird is like it ends up doubling in size. Now, to me, that would be I'd be like, all right, now we got to get rid of this. It's got to go. Because, you know, you're tiny, but now you're almost the full size, like half the size of the jar almost now already. But she's keeping it in secret. So outside of that, she's living with her parents, her mom and her stepdad. Now, her and her stepdad kind of connect because after her mom got with him, he's a artist for a comic and they created a comic book together. So that's kind of how they bond. But, you know, still being stepdad, he's not the actual dad. So he still has his moments where he's not able to really connect and he makes mistakes. Like she came in to help him with the drawing and one character is based on her dad. He has glasses. And so she draws eyes on it. You know, he's like, oh, that's cool. That's good. But then after she leaves, she erases it. He erases it. And of course, she finds out. And, you know, it kind of just messed up. Basically, she tells him, like, if you don't like stuff that I'm doing, tell me. Don't say you did and don't.
Right.
And so he's trying to make things right there. But he's also the superintendent for the apartment. So he has all these jobs with fixing plumbing issues and going down into the cellar with the furnace, trying to make sure that works. And the actual owner is his wife's grandmother. And she's rude. Just put it faintly. She is rude and she insults him, you know, every chance she gets. But then the way so Charlotte has her grandmother named Helga, who's kind of got dementia. So she doesn't quite remember everything that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to backtrack a little bit. When the movie starts, she's hearing noises in the ceiling, in the walls, doesn't know what's going on. So she calls, like she's got notes on the wall to help her make a phone call. So she calls the exterminator, talks to Frank, has him come. So once he arrives, he's basically been there before, but because of her dementia, she doesn't remember him.
Yeah.
And so he stumbles upon like this murder scene in the vents. And that's what kind of starts this movie off. And then we go 4 days later, 4 days earlier with the spider and how Charlotte finds it. But so Charlotte thinking everything's cool with the spider. He had the spider mimics sounds. So like on her phone, when she gets notifications, it makes like a whistling noise. Then the spider starts making the noise as well. So she's like, oh, cool, you're a mimic. But then she gets concerned because of how it keeps growing. So they have like a nerd geek in the apartment named Eric, who does all these experiments and research. So she goes to talk to him and, you know, she asks him whether or not he wants to see the spider. So he looks at it and he's like, this isn't a normal spider. And then at some point he's going to get bigger and then break this jar. So he wants to keep it, hold it overnight so he can make sure he gets the right aquarium, you know, like the correct, I guess, storage for it. And so instead he ends up calling her stepdad saying, hey, your stepdaughter's got a weird spider that is, you know, not safe to have. It's dangerous. It's not of Earth and whatnot. And so after the cat's out the bag, there's pets in the apartment that start disappearing. Some of the neighbors start disappearing. And they have this one gruesome scene with one neighbor where the spider is just, I don't think you'd like it. I'll just say that.
Doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like it.
And so what becomes this, what starts off as a cute little spider becomes a very dangerous menace in this apartment. And also, this is New York. It's a blizzard. So even if they want to go somewhere, they're not going to get anywhere. They can't leave, really. And it kind of has a touch of Home Alone, Die Hard in a way, because she starts going back through the vents to try to get, you know, at least it made me think of Die Hard, seeing her going through the vents and trying to put her fighting against the spider. And she does have a weakness for it. And yeah, it turned out to be like a really crazy, good horror, especially going in blind, like having no idea what it was, you know, just going in blind, not knowing what the movie's going to be. And then the end result was just a great, creepy horror movie where it wasn't relying on jump scares or anything. Like, it was truly like creepy with the music, the imagery. Mm-hmm. Felt kind of like late 80s, early 90s type of movie. Like the horror and how it was shot. Yeah. When it does release, I'll definitely be watching it again.
Good. Okay.
But yeah, there's some things in here that I don't, you know, it's not for everybody. Definitely not for kids. For sure. Not for kids. But it was a well-done horror movie. And I think it's an Australian film company. I forgot the name of it. But yeah, it was a pleasant surprise, to say the least.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
D.
That's awesome. D. Not the wrestler.
No.
Not a biography of the wrestler.
And she came up with the name from seeing the book The Hobbit, which was, I think, the name of the sword.
It was
used. Yep. So that's where she came up with the name for the spider. Nice. But yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So, if anybody, Grayson started watching she's found two different new shows that she's enjoyed. I'm going to butcher the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Freaky, Dicky, Nikki, and Dawn, D-A-W-N. It's very much a kid show. I think it's on Netflix, I think. I don't remember. Ricky, Nikki, Dicky, and John.
Didn't it used to be on Nickelodeon? Don.
Maybe it was Nickelodeon. I don't remember. But that's one Grace has been watching a lot. It's really cute. It's got it's a great kids movie for like her age, you know, for 9-year-olds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I go probably 6 to 12 probably would like it. And then the one we watched Saturday, maybe it was Sunday morning, I can't remember. The Big Show show. Literally, The Big Show, the wrestler, has a kids show in which him and his wife live in Tampa. They have two kids. Not sure if they're her, if it's like a Brady Bunch thing where the two kids are her kids from a previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But he's retired. He plays himself as a retired wrestler living in Tampa.
Yeah.
His daughter from his previous marriage is moving from Minnesota to Tampa to live with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's about her trying to get used to, living with siblings, for one, other than, you know, just step or half siblings. I'm not 100% sure how that's working out, but like, and her mom still lives in Minnesota, you know, and she played hockey and stuff like that, so she's trying to you know, new school, all that. And she was supposed to have her own room, but one of the other kids is like resistant to giving up said room.
Yeah.
It resolved itself and all that, as most shows like that do. But what I like is, you know, it shows him, it shows what it's like when you're trying to, as a dad, you know, trying to reconcile mistakes from your past. Because he wasn't there because of wrestling and everything.
Yeah.
He wasn't there a lot for her as a younger kid, but now she's like a teenager. And I think, I want to say high school. So he's trying to make up for that by being more involved, but by also by doing so, he's doing too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you try too hard to make up for lost time.
Yeah.
And instead of just trying to let things kind of happen organically.
And force a lot of stuff.
Yeah. He's trying to, like she's saying, just let me, I want to do this on my own because I've always had to,
mm-hmm.
which mm-hmm. hurts, but it hurts. But at the same time, that lets you in on her personality, though. It gives you, you know, gives depth to her character and everything. And
yeah.
So she's not used to having to have somebody try and do that. So it's really interesting. And I actually really like the premise. And it is a cute show for that type of show. And he's actually pretty funny, you know, as an actor, you know, on a kid show. So
yeah,
it's cute. So a couple recommendations for that, for parents. If you haven't watched yet on HBO Max or just Max, whatever you want to call it now, or whatever it's decided to call itself at the moment, Quiet on the Set docuseries, speaking of Nickelodeon.
Yeah. I watched that.
That's wild. Yeah. Wild, horrific, heartbreaking, but also somewhat not surprising. Yeah. So that's an eye opener. So
yeah.
Especially when you go from watching that to watching these shows with your kids.
Yeah.
Kinda, you know, your body kind of squirms a little bit.
Because, you know, we watched all the can't do it on television.
Oh my God.
Yes. There and all that. And then you have all that. The Amanda Bynes show and all these. I mean, some of the stuff I hadn't watched, but my daughter would watch some of the shows,
mm-hmm.
like the Thundermans and there was one more show, Henry Danger. She's watching that,
yeah.
And I'd watch it with her when she was younger.
Yeah.
But to watch I watched all of them in one sitting. I was just like, what the hell?
Ew.
I mean, it's like it's surprising, but it's not just because it's Hollywood,
right?
But the fact that it was Nickelodeon,
yeah,
it's like all right.
Yeah. Can't wait for the Disney one to come out next. Yep. Waiting for the Disney one to drop. There's
plenty of that out.
Yeah.
Disney's got a super dark history.
Yeah.
But yeah. Have you watched X-Men 97? Have you been watching
that? Two episodes. I've watched the first two. Made it up. I've been told it is really good and reminiscent of the original that I never watched.
Yeah.
Which is why I was slow to watch this, because I was like, it's not really. I didn't watch the original one, X-Men and just Marvel. Not really my thing, but.
Yeah, it definitely does a good job.
But according to my algorithm and everything I've read from that, and then from a couple of my coworkers who have also watched it and basically beat me in, nagged me into submission to watch it because it kept talking about it and I didn't know anything about it, so I had to watch it. And so far, I've enjoyed it. Yeah, I mean, and when I come back to think about it, I've seen at least a couple episodes of the old one. I don't know when or how, but I've got a couple here and there before.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like it's. And it starts. I'm enjoying it. Yeah.
Yeah, I originally had watched all the way through to like half of the fourth season, and so that's kind of where I'm at now, because I went back and started over, and so I'm back to where I'd stopped back then. So, but I have watched the first three, and it's definitely doing well to get the updated animation. Most of the voice actors have come back. Of course, a lot of them are older, so they don't exactly sound the same. Like the Wolverine and Rogue character don't sound mm-hmm. exactly alike, but it is the original voice actors, and they're still talking about the same stuff that's still happening now.
Yep.
It's just crazy how it still fits into the scope mm-hmm. of everything.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. Very strong.
if you're into like a wild show, I think I told you to watch this because I think you would like it. There's a show on Apple TV Plus if you have that, if you have access to that. It's a show called Constellation with Noomi Rapace, and I'm gonna draw on the blank on his name. Played he's been in a crap ton of movies and was in Breaking Bad. Oh, crap. I'm going to have to look it up now. I did remember it's Jeffrey Jones was the redheaded dude, pedophile dude. I remember his last name was Jones. I did remember that. But Constellation, it starts off kind of, I don't want to say slow, like you don't know really what's going on or and whether or not you want to stick with it or not. But I'm telling you, you have got to stick with it because it is wild. And whatever you think the show is about, a couple episodes in, you're going to be like, this is not where I thought this was going. And then you want to stick with it. So Joe returns to Earth after a disaster in space and discovers that there are missing pieces in her life. So she sets out to expose the truth about the hidden secrets of space travel and recover what she has lost. Jonathan Banks. God, I couldn't think of that. From Breaking Bad and a bunch of movies from the 80s and 90s. One of your favorite villains. Because... Yeah, he was in Beverly Hills Cop 2. There we go. Good one. But yeah, and James Darcy's also in it. It's a good show. Just stick with it. So that is, and I don't want to talk too much more about it because I would like for people to experience it organically, much like I had. The entire first season is currently out on Apple TV Plus.
Okay.
I hope they make a second season because I'm curious. Definitely left it. This week, we have Monkey Man, The First Omen, and Someone Like You for three. First week of April. And that's what I got, man.
All right.
What we got, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Hopefully, I will have watched two of the three by next week.
There you go. There you go. One out of three. I've got other movies to catch up on. So. At least Monkey Man and the... I need to try and see Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
And probably Kung Fu. Panda 4. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's a lot of good stuff. It's a lot of good stuff out there right now.
Yes. This time of year,
I've seen most of it. I'm like,
yep. You have.
I'm trying to just get out there and watch it.
What are you on now? 23 in the theater?
No, 29, I think.
29.
As far as movies in theater.
Yeah, yeah. In theater. Yeah. I am at 8. Legit, I am at 8.
Yeah, I've just been. I still sometimes have to talk myself into going because sometimes I just don't want to. I'm just like, I just want to go home.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I've had a couple of days where I worked early so I can slip in those movies around, you know, the time. And I've done a lot of two movies in a day, one time of three. So it's just trying not to miss much.
I got you. I feel it, man. I feel it.
Yeah.
Well, in the immortal words of Obi-Wan Kenobi, who is more foolish, the fool or the fool who follows him? At Prairie April Fools, we will talk to y'all next week. Don't be.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed our show and have a moment, please rate and review. It helps us out a lot.
Also, recommend us to someone that enjoys movies or also has kids.
You can find us on Twitter at PA Movie Podcast and on Instagram at Parental_Advisory_Movie_Pod. Be sure to join our Facebook group, Parental Advisory Movie Podcast, and join in on the fun.